I'm Warren Bell, and today we're delighted to have Andrea Gunner with us via Zoom. Andrea is the candidate for the Green Party of Canada. Welcome, Andrea.
Thank you, Warren. I'm so happy to have this opportunity to speak to the listeners of Voice of the Shuswap. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today. So let's get right down to the questions. Did you grow up in the Shuswap?
I grew up in the North Okanagan. I grew up in Vernon, spent my childhood from age 1.5 to 17. My parents were very involved in the arts community and were big community leaders. And so that was profiled for me from a very early age. I think my first public appearance, I was 3 years old on the stage of what was the rec center, which is seats 1500 people, giving flowers to the soloist of a community concert or symphony. My father played in both symphonies, the Kamloops and the Okanagan Symphony. And so I was the regular little girl that was traipsing out on stage with these big bouquets of flowers.
What sorts of work and other activities have you been involved with in the Shuswap over the years?
So we moved to the Armstrong Spell Machine area in 1991. The Jazz Festival, the concerts, the whole Folk Music Society, all of the recreational opportunities. And then as a farmer, I've been involved in farming and selling. We've had a number of customers in the Shuswap. We've taken great delight in visiting our customers, doing deliveries, and also visiting other farms. As an agricultural economist, I've had a lot of clients throughout the Shuswap, and it's been it's such a beautiful area and such a great place to live. So yeah, I'm really lucky. I enjoy outdoor recreation, and the Shuswap and the North Okanagan abound. The other thing is, as a farmer and a foodie and an agricultural economist, I'm very invested in the agricultural industry, and this is the greatest place in Canada to live, for sure.
Well, I think you just answered the next question, which is, what is it that keeps you here? So I don't think we don't need to delve into that. So were you involved in politics or interested in political matters before this election?
I have always followed politics. I did a national agriculture leadership program in the late 90s, which was 30 of supposedly the best and brightest agricultural leaders across the country. And it was a 20-month program through the University of Saskatchewan. So we traveled throughout Canada, the US, and Mexico at all levels, at federal, local, provincial levels, learning what goes on in agriculture and how we can do things better. And that really brought home to me how great the community is that we live in, and also how much needs to change. So that was my first awakening. I was actually asked by the Liberals to run at that point. So in the late 90s, I had a young family at home. I was not thinking that that was a good fit for me. Certainly what I saw in Washington and Ottawa made me think that our governance system has got some real adjustments to make in order to better serve the population. So I've always kept an eye on politics. I've been asked by the NDP and the Greens repeatedly over the last 15 years. The reason that I said yes this time is because I'm at a place in my life where I feel that I have really good skills. I have good expertise in making change in people's lives, both in the business community and in their social structures. And I've got some ideas about how to make that. I have a number of friends who live in other countries in the world, and I see how coalition governments, minority governments, proportional representation has served those populations much better on the indexes of health and happiness and well-being. And I think that Canada needs a similar change. So that's that, and the climate crisis, which we are in. There is no escaping it. If the heat dome and the fires this year didn't already bring that front and center, I don't know what will. But it's clear to me as a farmer, as somebody who works with farmers, we're on the front lines of it, and it is here, and it is real, and it is now.
Then, is being a candidate like you thought it would be?
I knew that it was going to be a personal development journey, and we're only 2 weeks in. So I still have clients. I still have a farm. We still have a food processing company. My organizational abilities are being stretched for sure. My days are a little longer than I would like. My nights are a little shorter. But at this point, I've been juggling multiple balls for years. I'm a pretty good juggler of multiple projects and keeping people on track within those projects. So honestly, it just feels like I've been doing this kind of work for the last 30 years. It's a bit of a stretch, but it's not that much of a stretch.
Have you gone through a training program?
No, I have attended some of the Green Party training sessions. I have been reaching out to other ridings and sharing collaborating resources. I've got a great team of people that are definitely all over this and sources of information. So the training that I've done is, I already do governance training. I spend, as a professional agrologist, I spend on average over 100 years of professional development in all kinds of different aspects of running organizations and honing my skills, facilitating, mediating, writing, all those kinds of things. This is just one more aspect of it.
I hope you meant 100 hours and not 100 years.
Oh, sorry. Yes, 100 hours a year.
Just checking. Now, people have called this one of the most important elections in Canadian history. How do you feel about that? And how do you feel about being caught up in this moment?
You know, one of the things that has concerned me for a long time, Warren, is from my background, I used to be an activist, a very active activist for Amnesty International. The thing that really concerns me more with the COVID pandemic has brought such a highlight to it is the gap between the richest of the rich and the rest of us. And this last year and a half, having seen that equality gap widen in Canada, as such a resource-rich, stable government, so many wonderful attributes that we have as Canadians, the equality gap is widening. Equality in this country is actually a myth. And the main parties will say that everyone is the master of their own fate. And we know that that is not true. We know that there are people that are impacted very adversely. We know that the richest 47 Canadians have got $78 billion more in their assets over the last 18 months. We know that there are policies that can change that. A very small tax rate of 1% on the very wealthiest people will generate $10 billion that we can apply to social services, to the desperate needs in affordable housing, in clean water, in the challenges that our healthcare system has. I feel that as much as climate change and climate action are vitally, vitally important. And we can't wait any longer. We've already waited too long.
What particular qualities do you feel you bring to your candidacy? Not just what the party is looking for, but what qualities that you have personally that make you a suitable candidate?
I listen more than I talk. I ask questions. I help people get to what they really mean, what they feel deep inside. I've spent 30 years in my role as an agricultural economist. I work directly with farmers, food processors, farm associations, all levels of government. And what I do is ask questions and listen and help people get to where they want to be by helping them change their minds and see things differently. And I've got a whole host of clients that will give me, that have given me their support because I've helped them change their lives, change their businesses. So those qualities, I think, are paramount. I'm very thoughtful. I'm a voracious reader. I do my research. I do my homework. And we need people in leadership positions to help guide policies that actually meet the people's needs. And you can't do that if you're not asking questions and listening to them.
On that note, what particular policies of the Green Party of Canada do you feel most strongly about, or what ones resonate the most with you personally?
You know, we live in a province where the forestry industry was our leading economic driver. That is no longer the case. It's now roughly around 2% of our provincial GDP, gross domestic product. And I think we can do better. The really interesting thing about the forestry industry is we know that there is an ecological value to that. I'm not a forester, but I am a member of the natural resource professional. We're all governed, the agrologists, the foresters, the biologists are all governed under the same legislation provincially. And I have this vast network of resource professionals within my own personal network. So people have been telling me for a long time that the work that we've done here on our farm to build soil and capture carbon and sequester it in the soil.
You have been listening to our interview with Shelley Desitol, who is a candidate in the upcoming federal election for the Liberal Party in our riding, which is North Okanagan-Shuswap. The election will take place on September 20th. Once again, we urge you to vote in this important election. And we'd like to remind you that you can find all the information you need about voting by going to the Elections Canada website at elections.ca. Thank you for listening. You can hear the interviews with the candidates in the election again by going to our website, voiceoftheshuswap.ca, clicking on podcasts and scrolling down to 2021 federal election coverage.
Industry to have the jobs that we do the same way other countries do, where they have 10 times the amount of labor jobs at a forest industry per hectare of forest than we do. I'd like us to get there. So that's really important for me.
What issues then do you feel locally, meaning in this riding here, are the dominant matters that you will focus on if you're elected?
Oh, there are so many. For me, the inequality, the fact that we have children that are going to school hungry. We don't have a hot food lunch program like there are in so many other places. We have a really strong agricultural community. We need to make that link. Children can't learn if they don't actually have food. And there are far too many kids in this riding, in this area, that for whatever reason, don't have that kind of support. We need to support our Indigenous neighbors as they continue to try and process the trauma, the intergenerational trauma. So that one's a big one for me. And then, of course, reducing our impact on the climate by not only reducing our emissions, but actually drawing down carbon and sequestering it in the soil, in trees. So those are big. And then finally, the fact that BC at any one time has 160 to 170 boil water advisories. Our own farm is impacted by the Hulkar aquifer and the nitrate contamination, which affects not only Splatchin, but also a number of rural landowners in the area. Clean water should not be so hard for Canadians. And BC is just an indication of what occurs across the country with regards to our water contamination. So that one, I mean, honestly, affordable housing, water, and food, what can be more basic? I don't think our existing political system has been delivering well on that at all. And without those, we cannot proactively, efficiently, or effectively address climate change.
Building on that, what is the one thing, or perhaps two or three things, that you'd really like to accomplish if you're elected?
Oh, yes. Even if I'm not elected, the things that I am working on are increasing capacity in the population in this area so that they understand that even though each of us is only one individual, all of us can do something. And so to think about what is it that we can do to make our communities, our world, our neighborhoods a better place. So Random Acts of Kindness, that's a great campaign. Giving a smile to somebody when you pass them on the sidewalk. Those little things that actually get us out of our own despair, our own sense of helplessness and hopelessness, it changes our brains. I spent 10 years in a low-grade depression about climate and the crisis that's on our doorstep that we're 40 years too late in addressing. And I came out of that by spending 2 years reading everything I could on neuroplasticity, neurobiology, neurology, and the great gains that have been made in the last few years. And I know that how we act, if we act like we're happy, that actually changes our brain functionality so that we are happier and we get out of that prefrontal cortex, the hypothalamus, and get into our more rational, more considerate, more compassionate brain. We all need to be there, especially with what's going on with COVID-19, with the forest fires, with the despair and sense of hopelessness that exists at every layer in our communities.
How do you intend to try and achieve those goals if you're in office?
Well, something that I've been doing for 30 years is modeling the kind of person that I want to be. I have people all over this riding and actually beyond. I've been getting calls from well beyond this riding telling me what an inspirational person I am. I don't feel that. I feel like I'm just one person doing the best that I can in the circumstances. It's part, if anybody's ever heard of the co-counseling model, understanding everybody is doing the best they can with what they have. And so being open and non-judgmental, willing to listen, ask those thoughtful questions, and actually we can make change if we work together. If we're honest and open in that authentic experience with other people, we can totally make change. And I want people to think that we can do better than this. Canada can be better. Our community can be better. If we find out what those differences are, explore them in an honest way, and share our experiences, share our perspectives. I think we don't do enough of that, and it is well past time.
Now, if you're elected, what are the things you'd like to be remembered for after you've completed your time in office?
I would like to be responsible for, I take great interest and inspiration from those leaders in other countries, Jacinta in New Zealand, the government systems in Finland and Denmark and the Netherlands and Switzerland, where they actually have a diverse perspective from a diversity of people who are all looking at, here's the issue, whether it's climate change or whether it's housing and homelessness, looking at the issue, bringing all of the different perspectives from around the table and finding solutions that are best for those communities, for the communities that they serve. That is what I would like to accomplish. Better decision-making based on engaging all different perspectives.
So let's zero in on the recent heat dome, which caused nearly 700 deaths in the Lower Mainland, and the aggressive wildfire problem this summer. These have focused attention on the climate crisis. If you were elected, what would you or the Green Party do to address rapid climate change?
The Green Party has got a pretty good handle on that. They've had the most succinct and direct, pretty desperate looking, we need to reduce our carbon emissions as quickly as possible. So having more incentives for electric vehicles, happy to see that Askews has put in that huge bank of Tesla and other charging stations at the Uptown Askews. We need to support better quality housing with better insulation. All of the things around drawing down and sequestering carbon. And there are so many, I really don't have time within this interview, I don't think, to go through them all, but there are a number of things. And for me, clean water, the fact that our water stewardship, BC citizens are the least efficient users of water in the Okanagan Valley. We are the least efficient. And in the Okanagan, which this riding is part of, it's a semi-arid desert. The Shuswap has got more precipitation, so lucky for them. But still within this riding, we are amongst the most inefficient water users in the world. We can and must do better. And that will help our climate. That will help our climate like hardly anything else will.
One final thing, and we're asking all the candidates this question. Did anyone tell you you're crazy to run for political office?
Countless people. But at the same time, those people who know what my schedule is like know that I already have two full-time jobs. The people who say you are crazy, including the call that I got from somebody in Victoria in the BC government today, to say, I'm so happy to see that you're running, but are you crazy? Do you know how many contracts you have and how many people are relying on you? So yes, the reason that I have done this is because I believe so ardently that I have got skills, I've got experience, I've got perspective that is desperately needed in the halls of Ottawa. And whether or not I become the next MP for this riding, I am going to continue to work. I'm going to continue to advocate for the environment, for farmers, for people who are disenfranchised, for the hungry children in our school system. We are going to, from our own farm, we're going to continue to support our Indigenous communities and the school children in both Vernon and Salmon Arm, as we have been doing for several years. That to me is my life's work. It's vitally important.
Well, that's the last of our questions. Thank you very much, Andrea, for taking the time to join us via Zoom and to share your story with us. And good luck in the upcoming election.
Thank you for the opportunity to be here. I very much appreciate it.
You're most welcome, Andrea.